Hi and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome. I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Well, welcome.
Hey, y'all. Welcome.
We have a real special edition today.
Oh, shoot. We do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look at us. You're not looking. Most of you were just in your ears. But if you were looking
on YouTube,
you would see
we're all dressed up
as different eras of Dolly Parton.
Yeah. So go check us out on YouTube if you have not already. I mean, look at these tatas.
It's really good.
Woohoo.
Yeah. You know, Tab is like late 60s Dolly Parton, which to be honest is my favorite era. You know, I have a bit of a Dolly shrine in my house.
Yes.
I really do, you guys. It's not even a joke.
And Gretchy is the iconic, you guys. Seriously, if you have not gone on YouTube yet, you got to go check Gretchen out. She is the Playboy Dolly.
Playboy Dolly. Yeah, Dolly did Playboy, the cover. She didn't do anything naked. Don't be thinking anything like,
you're almost
unsavory.
Naked.
I am so afraid right now that somebody's going to come over and knock on my goddamn door.
Oh my God. What if you
or my dog's going to get out or something, whatever. And I'm sucked up in one of those Playboy bunny outfits.
Yeah. It's so good. Are you going to wear that trick or treating?
Well, no, but if we don't wrap this up and on time, I might have to wear it to pick my kid up from school.
You actually might. I made Gretchy start late today. So my fault if you have to go as Dolly Parton. I'm sure the guys would be very stoked seeing you in that outfit.
Sure. I could have my little what's her name? Reese Witherspoon moment.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So if you have not listened to Patreon or our Clink Clink Club or Bonus, find it now because we talk a lot of good stuff on there. And I was telling everybody last Thursday, actually Gretchy did a crime. Okay. So that by itself is something to listen to. But I also was telling y'all that I was watching the Menendez brothers, both things on Netflix. Did you do it? Did you watch anything I sent you? You're an ass.
I know, Tab, but listen, I have trunk or treat. I'm having a little get together afterwards. I had to plug in the fog machine, get my dance playlist ready. Mm. I have things to do.
Well, okay?
I'm in the
Bunko
middle of a crisis. You don't even know right now. It is hot as balls.
Oh, it is.
And I'm out there.
Know.
Yeah, it is. And I need a generator. This is my last trunk or treat. So I really want to go out with a bang, show mm-hmm. these bitches what's up. Because mm-hmm. every year I do trunk or treat. And then these whores on the PTA, they just post like their friends' trunks, even though I always have the best
stop
one.
Stop it. You do.
I've never been posted. And I am friends with several PTA members this year and I've threatened all of them.
Oh my gosh. And she mm-hmm. does go all out.
This is the year.
Well, maybe they didn't.
I want to be on the school Instagram.
You were like,
I want the whole thing.
Remember last year or the year before you like totally had
I exposed myself. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that
why
up. Yes.
They didn't
yes. I had a little indecent exposure, was wearing something gauzy and my bra fell down and I didn't realize it till I saw the picture of myself that the principal took.
Mm-hmm. That's probably uh-huh. why you were not on their social media. Just saying.
Oh yeah, maybe. But anywho, you could have photoshopped my nip out, right? Brittany does it all the time.
Listen.
Anyways.
Listen, I think the schools are getting enough publicity these days for indecent exposure. So they don't need any parental.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Well, anyway, I need a generator. There's no power.
So did you bring one? Do you buy one?
Well, I'm doing a practice run in my driveway right now. Oh, and it is my husband is like, yeah, I've got a great little generator for you. Bring it home from work. It's like, it's a situation, Tabitha. It is like full of gas.
Oh,
I don't know these things. And you have to start it like a boat. You have to like pull the thing.
Oh, like a lawnmower.
And I'm not very good at working it. And then it smells like gas. I'm going to like stink the children out. Yeah, but I need it.
I don't know what to tell you. Good luck. Good luck.
I bought a little solar one today on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know if it's got enough power for me.
I don't know what you're going to do.
I don't know. All right. Well, anything exciting with you?
Well, not really. I've been like head in the Netflix documentary. So there's that. And then, you know, it like starts it giving you other ones that you should watch. So then I did that. And so I'm like a little true crimed out. So you'll kind of like, well, I'll kind of like this episode I'm going to give you today, because it maybe isn't as dark as some of them in a certain way.
Oh, okay. Like maybe we've had enough dark and spooky.
Well, you know, I was telling Gretchen yesterday that I didn't do a Halloween case, but you guys, there's not that many that...
No, there's not. And we go through this like every year. I mean, we have done some in the past. If you feel like listening to something dark and spooky, mm-hmm. His last name is Dawson. I don't remember what episode the episode is called, but I'm sure it has Halloween in the title. And, but most of them involve children, and you know, mm-hmm. we don't do kids. And so
we don't like that.
Yeah.
Yes. Also, I wanted to just ask you guys a huge favor. If you will, please share our podcast with a friend that likes true crime. I am constantly being told that, oh, my best friend loves true crime. Oh my da-da-da. So if you would share our podcast with somebody that you know loves true crime or that you think should like true crime,
I have a suggestion for you people, because this is what I come across all these time. All these people that say they don't like true crime.
Oh, right.
And they say, mm-hmm. yeah. And they say like, I don't, but da, 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 da. And then the next thing you know, they're talking about watching an episode of 48 Hours or Dateline or something. And you're like, oh, bitch, guess what? You like true crime.
I know.
That's what true crime is.
I had like have so many people that are like,
talk to them. If you don't want to like be judged for being a true crime fanatic, like I receive all the time, then you just need to be like, oh my gosh, do you watch Dateline or something? Like break into the conversation slow.
Yeah. Or you could say, listen
a little
to these
foreplay
two.
And be like, oh, you like that? You'll like this. And then,
yes.
And then sell them on
us. You know so what I mean? Damn cute today. I mean, who doesn't love a dolly? But seriously, we would so appreciate it. That mm-hmm. is really what would make our tribe grow. And then also if you want five crimes, there's a couple days left. I told you the wrong code. It's 50% off. If you go to the TikTok shop and it's 5Crimes50, all capitals, go to TikTok shop and you get 50% off for the next 5 days. You guys, this is all you got. So go to TikTok shop 5Crimes and put in the code 5Crimes50 to get 50% off. It ends at the end of this month, which is October 2024. If you're listening to this after that, sorry, the deal is done, but the products are not, and they are amazing. So I encourage you to just try at least one of them and let us know what you think. Okay. So
let's do this.
Happy Halloween week, you guys. All right, I am taking you to a spooky place, actually, a spooky but amazing place, and that is called London.
Ooh.
You familiar?
I feel
like there's a lot of haunted things in London. You know, it's a really old city.
Yeah. Jack the Ripper, hello.
Oh, right. I know.
Sherlock Holmes shit. Scary. I think that happened there, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's fictional, but still.
Fun fact about London, that Big Ben is not actually the name of the clock tower. The name is the Tower of Elizabeth. It's just the nickname of the bell inside the tower is the Big Ben. Have you been to London?
That is the most boring thing you've ever said on this podcast.
What the shit was that? Well, my friend's son is obsessed with Big Ben. Like obsessed.
Oh, okay.
And so... You know,
maybe I needed it in context.
Yeah,
sorry,
maybe
friend.
I should have. I know. Sorry, okay. Natalie.
Okay, fun fact. Sorry,
Ben. No. I know. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Okay. Also, another fun fact is we're going to be in London. And if you want to come and see us at CrimeCon in London, book it for June.
Bring in the husbands too. And every time he talks about doing something during the summer, I'm like, yeah, we don't have time for that. We're all hooked up. He's like, that's really happening. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're putting it on the calendar now so that we set it aside, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we are not talking about us today in London. We are talking about Karat-Asi
right
now, right? And Karat is not boring at all. She was born in London to parents who were Sikh. Have you ever heard of this religion?
Yes.
Oh, well, good. It's a Indian religion and philosophy. Her parents had moved from London.
Like, don't cut their hair. Kenya. Wear it in turbans. typically.
The men? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. In 2010, Karat, and I hope I'm saying her name right, but she received a Facebook request from a guy named Bobby Jandu. She didn't normally accept friend requests from people, like especially random people, but Bobby's brother was her second cousin Simran's boyfriend. The boyfriend's name was JJ, by the way. So she was like, okay, you know, my cousin, your brother's dating her, and you're also really freaking handsome. Like, this guy is real cute. So I would have probably accepted his friend request too back in 2010.
Hello. That's why she's watching the Menendez so much.
Actually, I wouldn't, because I was married already in 2010. But you know, if I wasn't married, okay, I would have accepted it. Right. But you know what I'm saying. And yes, I am watching them. And I did watch the Menendez brothers. And partly I like kept watching because those two guys that they hired to act them out were freaking gorgeous. Okay. Mm-hmm. And there's a shower scene. Just saying.
Oh, shit. Okay.
No prosthetic use. That's what Wendy told us.
Damn.
You're just going to watch it for that. I know it.
Probably.
Okay. Well, Bobby and Bobby was part of the Sikh community also. So that was real appealing. He also was a cardiologist consultant, which is also real appealing. He spent his time between Kenya and the UK, and his life seemed real bougie on the Facebook account. Like, he was going to parties and he was, you know, living it up. When they first connected, Bobby was happily married, and Karat was like at the top of her game. She had a marketing career and she was also on the radio, kind of like us, but before podcasts, you know?
Well, you actually were on the radio. I heard it with my ears.
I know I was. That was before I became like pretty good on the mic. I was so nervous. I was on the radio.
But you did it. These are why to know Tab is to love Tab, because she is just, I would never have had the balls to do that, but she just got it. I mean, it was like, what was it? It was like B95.1.
Yeah.
She just gave it to you.
The morning show, you guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everybody that I knew, I was like, maybe that was my problem. I told everybody to listen and then I got all nervous, but whatever. Okay. So these two, Karat and Bobby, they kind of talked off and on online, you know, like they were internet good friends. They would write each other about their life's nuances, probably talking shit about their spouses, whatever you do online with somebody.
I don't like any of this. I'd cut a bitch that talked to my husband.
Oh, for sure. Right.
Yeah. I know. There's no side conversations.
Dude, actually, like, yeah, no.
Yeah, no.
They got pretty close over the couple months that Bobby told her that he was filing for a divorce because his wife had cheated on him. And at that same time, Karat's long-term boyfriend wasn't really like doing it for her either, but they had been together since they were teenagers. And although like they were together, he would like hop ship for a while. He would disappear. He would come back. You know, the type, like as soon as you're ready to like leave the guy. Yeah. Then they like, you're finally like, okay, I'm done with you. Then they're like, no, I love you.
Yeah.
Did you forget about me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keeps it interesting. Like very like Mr. Big in the beginning of Sex and the City.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Actually. Mm-hmm. So in Karat's culture, there is a lot of pressure to get married and have kids. According to her parents, Karat received multiple proposals, but she said, I don't think so. And you know, this also, the Sikh culture, some of them are arranged, the marriages.
Okay.
So it's important for them to get married as a culture. About 4 months after connecting with Bobby on Facebook, Karat was actually out on the town in Brighton and ran into him at a bar. They were both on the dance floor and she spotted Bobby from like across the way. It was super loud. She's there for a bachelorette party and she's like, Bobby, Bobby. And he's like, what the fuck? Who's this? Right. And she's like, it's me, Karat, Facebook, hello. Yeah. And he kind of just was like aloof. And she took it as like, it's really loud in here. He's super drunk. She turned around and like walked away and didn't even say anything to him online.
Oh.
Which I thought was kind of odd, but maybe not. Maybe you're like,
yeah, that's because you're the girl who will be like, oh, sure. You're going to give me a chance to get on the radio. I'll get on the radio. Somebody doesn't respond to you, you're going to talk to them
question.
Until they get a, you're going to get a response.
I know. I guess
I understand that
not...
being like, oh, they're not waving at me. Now I'm going to go crawl in a corner and die.
Yeah. You're right. Okay. So actually, her online conversations at that point kind of slowed down with Bobby, and he kind of went MIA for a couple months. Then out of nowhere, he messaged her again, and he announced that he was getting married to a new woman named Sanji. It sounded like a rebound to crap because she was like, dude, you've only been divorced for less than a year, but he looked happy. And Sanji sent her a Facebook message. Bobby's like, hey, she wants to be your friend too. She was like, cool, whatever. She also was invited to their wedding that was held in Kenya in December 2012, but Karat couldn't go because she had other like family commitments at that time.
Like, you're going to just go to like some wedding all the way in Kenya for some dude that you just talked to online and you've never met who he's marrying?
Yeah, she was going to. So
that
I don't know.
Like a lot of money.
Well,
save those miles.
Yeah, totally. It does sound like a lot of money, but she had a bunch of family, remember, because her family's from Kenya also. So,
oh, okay. Yeah. I forgot.
That's why it wasn't like,
sorry, I'm distracted by all the boobs on the screen.
By these?
And these.
By both of our tatas. Look at these. I mean, holy moly. Okay. So anyway, she, let me just tell you a little bit about Karat also. She's stunningly beautiful. Okay. She's got that business, marketing business. She's on that radio show. And when she's on the radio show, she's like very active. You know, she takes calls, answers questions. And then all of a sudden, when she's on air, she gets a pop-up from Sanji, the wife of Bobby. And it's a picture of Bobby saying, Bobby's been shot 6 times. He's in a coma fighting for his life. Please pray for our Bobby. He did not deserve all this. So she is like, what, right? So she calls her cousin Simran, who was, you know, dating Bobby's brother. And Simran is actually in Kenya at the time at the hospital with Bobby. And she's like, what the heck? So Simran's like, I promise I'll just keep you updated. I don't know what happened. And then a few days later, Simran called Karat and said, you know what? He's not in Kenya anymore. He's been moved to the United States. He is recovering from his gunshot wounds, but he is in witness protection program because there was something with like business dealings. He needs to be out of Kenya, which kind of makes sense, right?
I guess.
I don't know.
I don't think that when you go into the witness protection program, you get to be telling people that that's what you're doing though.
Or where you are.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a red flag.
Yeah.
That's probably true. So it was a little bit of time, but Bobby finally reached back out to Karat on Facebook, but through a new profile. And he was like, hey, I'm in witness protection because of this failed business deal. And she's like, how are you talking to me? It's like, well, I'm kind of doing it under the radar. And he wasn't really allowed to. And then all of a sudden his messages go dark again. So she was like, what the heck? Dude, well, he came back. He says, you know what? My marriage is suffering. I'm in the hospital. This shit sucks. I can't, like, we can't do it. At the same time, Karat is like, yeah, I'm same here, dude. I have this boyfriend that can't commit for 18 years and I'm over it also. So they are kind of living this like parallel life, right? In terms of like dating world. Except one's married and one's just dating, but whatever. Bobby is really trusting Karat and she's like, hey, listen, the witness protection people told me I can talk to a few people, my extended family. And so I'm going to put you in touch with them. And so she gets in touch with a couple of the cousins from Bobby's family and they start like a Facebook messenger group. I don't really know how that is because I don't really use Facebook that often. But, and then in 2010, I'm trying to figure out like, how that all worked too. I don't know, but they're all in some like group for Bobby. Maybe it's kind of like our group. Probably is.
No, it's not. In several Facebook messenger groups.
Oh, you are. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's like, it's basically like a group text in the messenger app.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes. So that makes sense because it's got like all of his cousins on here and one of his friends named Rajveer, who is actually a doctor who they brought over to be on his medical team. So he's updating this Facebook group on all of Bobby's recovery.
I actually wish all my group texts were just in the Facebook Messenger app because then you don't get a goddamn notification every time something goes on.
Yeah, I think we all wish that when we hear those dings, Gretchy.
Why are some of them on silent?
Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding. Okay. So they're messaging like just about Bobby's recovery and whatnot. And all of a sudden, Bobby out of nowhere writes her a private message that says he loves her. They had been chatting now for, this is not 2010 now, this is 2014, 4 years.
Yeah.
And she is like, holy moly. She just kind of like ignored the text message and, or the messenger message. And she's like, he's probably just saying that because he, you know, just got divorced and he knows that I'm not in a relationship and whatever.
He's actually just horny. So,
yeah. Right. Yeah. So she messages his doctor friend and one of his cousins, and they were like, no, he's not lying. He really does like love you. Well, right around that same time he sent her that text, he had a huge medical setback. He texted Karat and said he was like having stroke-like symptoms. And then all of a sudden, again, his messages went dark. So Karat's like terrified at this point. So she gets a message from Rajveer with a picture of Bobby lying all hooked up to all these medical equipment, tubes coming out everywhere. And it says his body's just giving up. Rajveer then tells her that Bobby's family is having everybody record goodbye messages for him in case he can still hear. And if she would, you know, send him a farewell message. And so she does. She's crying and she says, I love you so much, Bobby. Whatever we have, it is special. I wish things could be different. I wish I could just hold you once. I'll never forget you. I love you. I mean, there was like tons of emotions that she's feeling, right? She's like, I never have seen this guy, but I've spent now 4 years of my life talking to this man. He just told me he loves me. He's now dying. And she feels this really like immense sense of love for this person. And she's like, how come it took him dying for me to feel this? Well, thank God Bobby didn't die, because their romance just freaking sparked after that. He came back to life. He recovered from his stroke, but he didn't recover like fully. He was paralyzed from on like one side of his body. And I guess the stroke had like damaged his vocal cords. So he didn't have a voice at all. But it didn't really matter to Karat because she was in it to win it. Bobby would send her love notes, would send her gifts from across the pond, would send her, you know, flowers, whatever. And she would record messages for Bobby, even though he didn't speak. Like she would record and he would like type with one hand, I guess, messages back. They ended up spending like tons of time on the phone with each other, where she would talk and then he would just text. And this went on for a very, very long time. Finally, he started getting like some speech therapy so he could talk a little bit, but like the voice was like a whisper and kind of like a raspy, squeaky, kind of weird voice. Okay.
Okay.
3 months into Bobby's recovery, it seemed like he was really, really getting better. And so they started talking about their future together, like having kids. He wanted to be a dad. She really wanted to be a mother. And she's like 36 at this time. So her biological clock is ticking. And he's like, yeah, you know, he's in it and she's in it.
Yeah. Well, then get on a plane and go see each other. This is stupid. I know, like, this is like why I can't watch 90 Day Fiancé anymore.
Because they're,
you can't get that pissed like about people that you have not even seen in the
impression.
Flesh.
I know. One day he sent her a message. I guess there was like some sort of new thing on Facebook where you could draw a message. And so while they were chatting, he wrote like, will you marry me and be Mrs. Van Du? And she was like, hell to the yes, right? And so they knew that the proposal wasn't going to be official because in their culture, they had to meet. And by the way, his family knew, her family knew his family. His family was very prominent family in that culture. So like they were like, yeah, you know, like, for sure you can marry this man, but mm-hmm. it's not official until they actually meet and he asks, you know, like whatever. Embrace new beginnings. What a better way to start off 2025 than to learn a new language. I got Rosetta Stone over a year ago and have really enjoyed learning a couple different languages. Y'all know that when I went to Japan, I was learning Japanese, and now that my daughter is taking French in school, I am learning French through Rosetta Stone. It's amazing. It's been around for 30 years, so it is really the most trusted online tool to learn a new language. They have 25 different languages to choose from: Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, Dutch. I mean, if you name it, they probably have it. I think that it's amazing, and you should think about doing this for your New Year's resolution too. It's convenient and flexible, and the value is unheard of. You get a lifetime membership for all 25 of those languages. Start your New Year's off with a resolution that you can reach. Today, Housewives of True Crime listeners are going to be able to take advantage of this New Year's special from Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your New Year's offer at rosettastone.com/today.
Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for you, your kids, and your retirement, even during the holidays. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you. And you don't need a ton of time. You can create your Acorns account and start automatically investing your money in just 5 minutes. Acorns helps you build your financial future in the background so you can focus on all your holiday shopping and parties. So genius. Another great thing about Acorns is you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now. That could be $5 a day or even just your spare change. That's right. Acorns can round every purchase you make up to the dollar automatically and invest your spare change for you. So that coffee you grab on the way to the mall, that's investing. And you get bonus investments just for buying the stuff you need from the brands you love. With Acorns, every single gift you buy this year could put more money in your investment account. It's like cash back, but the bonus investments have a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid client testimonial. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns investing, involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink. Lady listeners, are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you are, you are most definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormonal disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. They are in our food, water, the air we breathe. They are all up in our business, messing with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through, perimenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier through these changes. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. I've been taking Hormone Harmony for months and will keep on keeping on because it just makes life easier. I feel less stress, less bloat. And just even, I feel more like myself. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today.
So he kept saying he's going to travel from New York to London to do all this in person. And she was like, okay, cool. He then was like, but I want to, you know, tell all my family about you. So he started a new group chat in Facebook Messenger with all of his cousins and all of his family. There was about 30 people on this message board, and they opened up their arms or keyboards to her. They were like, welcome to our family. Then they started using Skype. Remember Skype?
Mm-hmm.
And they would Skype each other all freaking night long, like all night long. Because of witness protection, he couldn't turn on his video, but so he would just have like audio and she would have her video on and they would fall asleep. Like the line would still be open like all night. They would watch TV. They would talk. She would talk. He would write. Then a whole new bomb dropped on Karat. Bobby told Karat that his second wife, you know, Sanji, was mm-hmm. pregnant, and she was pregnant with his baby. Karat was like, what the fuck? You divorced her a long time ago. How in the world did this happen? And Bobby admitted that he slept with Sanji just once, and it was right before that they got together. And she ended up getting pregnant. Well, Karat wanted, I told you, wanted nothing more to be a mother. And she was like, okay, like I can get through this. Like this can be my stepkid, I guess. Right. So they started talking about like, what should they should put the baby in. And then he would send her pictures of like the outfits that they picked out for this child with a child in it.
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking this is bullshit.
You're thinking it's bullshit because I'm talking about it.
No, I would think it was bullshit if you weren't just talking about it, because it is like, there is no, like, first of all, the witness protection program thing, you don't get to be on like group chats where people yeah. really know who you are. That's not working. And then, oh, you can totally Skype, but just no camera. Like bullshit.
I know.
Get your, take off your love goggles, cats. This is bullshit.
I know. But she really does have the love goggles. You know,
I believe that she really does have the love goggles. I'm telling you, I have watched 90 Day Fiancé.
They have the love goggles too.
Oh yeah. Cause they always meet them online, and then it goes on for years and years. And then, you know, maybe they finally like come over and they think like, okay, yeah, we're going to just get married in 90 days and it's going to be perfect. And it's, there's a lot of things that are not perfect.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah. I mean, you got to think something's weird when he's not putting on a camera, but then you're like, well, maybe you're so cute and you don't like the way you look.
Or getting on the plane. Get IC tickets to London for $300 round trip on the Travel Zoo. Okay.
I know.
It's just not that hard.
Well, you know, she really wants something from Bobby, like a piece of his something. And I mean, probably that too, but you know what I'm saying? Like
all the other reason you need to see whether you're going to marry somebody and it's a real prosthetic or not.
True. Like what half of the body has been paralyzed?
Gotta drive a car.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyway, Simran, you know, her cousin who she's confides in and whatnot, she actually goes across the pond. She had some big time executive job that sent her to New York. And so she was like, hey, I'll go see Bobby. I'll get something. She brings back Bobby's shirt. And not long after Simran got back from New York, did things kind of start changing in their relationship? These all-night Skype calls became real controlling in nature. Like she couldn't even go to the bathroom without him wondering what the hell she was doing. Her days began and ended with Bobby. Like she would call him and text him and whatever when she woke up. She kept the Skype tab open at work, and the messenger tab open at work, so she could answer Bobby's text at his beck and call. It really started taking a toll on her. And she even told Bobby, like, she's starting to have panic attacks from the pressure.
Yeah.
And he was like, you are crazy. And she was like, okay, you know, like she just wanted to please this guy.
Yeah. That's called gaslighting. I'm seeing a lot of signs. But also getting word on 90 Day Fiance. Mm-hmm.
This poor woman started really withdrawing from her family. She did try to break free from Bobby's control, but every time she did, he had some sort of emergency. Like he was going to have a heart attack if she didn't Skype him, or, you know, his stress level was going to go through the roof and he was going to have another stroke or whatever it was. Right. So it took a toll on her. And I think probably because, and I'm really putting these words in her mouth, but I'm thinking because it was a relationship that people couldn't quite understand, she kept a lot of it to herself and she lost kind of control of herself. She started losing a lot of weight. She never slept. She lost her job. She lost her marketing job. Actually, on the last day of her radio job, he was listening in and started getting mad at her for flirting with like a caller. And she was like, dude, these callers have been my callers for years. I'm not flirting with them.
Yeah.
So
he sounds like an asshole.
He does sound like a freaking asshole, but then he would
time him out. You never even met him. Keep him moving.
Guess what? Then he started love bombing her again.
Yes. This is very cyclical.
Getting flowers, giving gifts, all this stuff. And then finally, there was a light at the end of the tunnel. Bobby was going to be released from witness protection program. And he promised he was coming to the UK.
How convenient.
her just dreams of picking him up at the airport. Were,
oh my God. Ah, the moment.
Like, yes, right?
Uh-huh.
But he said, you know what? I need a couple days. Like, I can't like see you right away. So she's like, okay, you know, like I'll give you a couple days to, I don't know, get up the nerve to see me for the first time. I don't know. See if it works before. He told her that he booked a hotel near the hospital in Kensington. So she was like, you know what? I'm just going to go to the hotel. She gets to the front desk. She gives him Bobby's information and they're like, no, nobody here by that name. So she calls her cousin Simran for help. And she's like, dude, like, I feel like Bobby's lying to me. And Simran's like, calm down, calm down. It must be a mistake. And as she was talking to Simran, a call came in and it was Bobby. Karat begged him to come downstairs and he was like, I see you, but I don't like surprises and I'm not going to come down. I need a couple days. And she was like pretty furious. Bobby then told her that he moved from the hotel to a house in South Kensington. And so Karat goes there and she couldn't find the house that he told her he was at. So she calls Bobby and he's like, I see you, but I can't see you. I don't want to see you yet. Well, the only rational answer in Karat's head is that Bobby is with Sanji, baby mama, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what she did next is probably what we would do is she called Sanji.
Okay.
And as soon as Sanji answered, she said, Bobby, is that you? Well, dude, she's like, hello. Like she hung up. She didn't say anything, but she was like, my suspicion was right. What the hell? This is totally bananas. So she hangs up and then she gets a private investigator. This is where I'm like, okay, finally, Karat, you're onto something. Well, the private investigator says, actually, he is in London. This is his address where he lives. So she goes in her car to Brighton. Remember, that's the first place she saw him at the club. And she goes to the door and rings it. And guess what?
What?
He answers.
Okay.
And she's like, Bobby, it's me, Karat. And
yeah.
He is like, what? And behind him is Sanji, his wife. And she's like, Bobby, who is this? He's like, I have no idea who this lady is. I've never spoken to her in my life. Karat is like, you're a liar. Like, what the fuck? You're a fucking liar.
Yeah.
How could you say this? You're lying to me. Like, we've been talking for 8 years. Look at all these messages and calls. And Bobby is like trying to reason with her. And he's like, I think you're confusing me with my brother, JJ. People kind of mix us up sometimes. And she's like, no, it's you, Bobby Jandu. And she takes out her phone and she shows him the picture of himself. And she points to Sanji and the baby. And she's like, I know who you are. I know your baby's name. They are like, what the fuck, lady? You like, this lady's crazy. We need to call the police. From Karat's perspective, it's just another lie from Bobby, right? Like pretending he doesn't know her because he's with his like other family, which is like living this double life. And so she calls Simran and she's like, Simran, like, what is going on? This is crazy. He's telling me this. She gets on the phone with Bobby because remember, she like had dated the brother at one point back 8 years ago. And she gets back on the phone with Karat. She's like, hey, just leave. Like, you know, so she gets in the car and she goes and Bobby and Sanji are like, well, we're calling the police. And Karat is hysterical. She calls Simran, her cousin, on the way home, crying in hysterics. Simran's trying to calm her down. And a message pops up from Bobby. And it's like, hey, I'm really sorry. That you shouldn't have seen that. Well, Karat was done with Bobby at this point. She's like, he's a bastard. Like she starts writing him back like, fuck you.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, I've just been fooled by this guy leading a double life. And she was completely dumbfounded. But Gretchy, what I tell you happens next is really inexcusable. The next morning, Karat wakes up and her cousin comes by. And when she opens the door, her cousin says, "It was me. I'm Bobby." The whole time, it was her cousin that pretended to be this Bobby character who was a real life person.
Yeah.
So Karat is like at first could not even like get it together, right? She's like, what? You are Bobby? She's like, yes, I'm Bobby. She's like, but what about Rajveer? And what about Yash? And what about all these people that I've talked to on the phone and online and the 30 cousins and all those Facebook profiles? And she says, it was me.
Yeah.
It was all her cousin Simran. So I think you can imagine the horror she thinks, because she's like, who was I sleeping with on the phone? And in the Netflix documentary, they do ask her, like, what were you doing on the phone? Like, they kind of ask her if she's had like phone sex, right?
Of course she has.
No, with her cousin.
Yeah, so, super gross.
Super gross. And she feels it, you know, like this poor woman, she just, I think at one point she like fell on the floor and like passed out. She just could not, like she said, she started throwing up. I mean, her whole being was just thrown.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like in these, not just like a catfishing situation, but there's other situations that where that it is a loved one is doing something, maybe, you know, doing like fraud or something. And there is just a point, and so many of us are guilty of this, where there's a point where you're so personally invested in this that you don't, if it gets to that level, you don't let yourself look back at all of the signs that were there.
Oh yeah.
Oh, because yeah. Then it's like, then you have to admit to yourself that you played a role in this because you ignored the signs. So you just keep justifying things in your head over and over and over again. I also think, you know, PSA, private investigators are amazing. This case I just did about the Edward Shin and that private investigator that looked into the death for the family at no charge to them. Real good guy.
Yeah, totally.
There is, you need to be investigating people.
I know. I look up everybody.
I look up, listen, one of my friends just, they keep getting notified that they have more family members. Because they did a 23andMe.
Oh gosh. Yes.
And they think, I mean, I think they think maybe I'm an asshole, but I'm like, let me just, before you get invested in these people, let me just look them up. Give me the name.
Yeah.
No, they don't. They don't.
They won't let you?
Mm-mm.
No way.
Nope. So I say, okay, good luck with that.
Come on. We know better.
Yeah.
By the way, I just PSA, I have heard that 23andMe is going bankrupt and they are going to be sold. And if you have done 23andMe before, you should download all your information and then delete your account and erase all the information that they have on there, because you don't know where it's going to be sold.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So the case is not done because girlfriend wants, you know, some justice, because this woman has just ruined her life. She asks her why, like, why did you do this? Why would you do this to me? Like, you knew how much I wanted children and now I am 40 and you took my entire 30s away from me. And she doesn't say, she doesn't ever, she's emotionless. And she says, you ruined your own life.
Yeah. They are savage, ruthless people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She does message Bobby and tells Bobby that it was her. And then she asks Bobby to deal with it outside of the police. And he's like, no, like, I'm not going to do that. I am going to the police with this. And,
well, yeah. Why'd she pick him?
He just like wrote her like, good luck. When Karat went to the police, they were like, you're not a victim. The real victim is Bobby and Sanji. And she tried to like plead with the police and be like, this person made me do all these things, all these intimate things that I thought I was doing with somebody else. And at this time, there's nothing in that. There's no law in London or the UK for catfishing.
Yeah.
So Karat kind of just did her investigation herself, and she went and saved like every message she could and all these profiles before she uncovered 60 individual profiles that her cousin had made up, all just to make her feel that Bobby was a real person. When she thought about like the baby clothes that they talked about buying for the baby and then the baby wearing them, well, Simran had Bobby's real account, right? She had Bobby, she knew Bobby and Bobby's like whole life, and she would steal those pictures and like send them to her after. And she was, she's a real mastermind. Like this girl, the sheer volume of details that she had to keep straight for 8 years.
Oh my God. Can you imagine if we could keep our minds that straight?
No. Oh my God.
I mean, there would be no limit.
No. So she tried to sue her cousin, or she did sue her cousin. And bitch countersued dude and said that Karat groomed her because it all started when Simran was underage. She made a claim that she knew all along that fake Bobby was Simran, which is totally bananas and not true. And I will tell you that Simran is the second cousin and they did not meet, because remember the like UK Kenya thing, they didn't actually meet until Simran was 15 and Karat was in her 20s, I think.
Is Simran gay? So, did she have a crush on her cousin?
Well, I don't think so, because I think Simran's married to a man now.
Well, I remember
but there is something there. Obviously there is.
No, because I've watched that Catfish show. I mean, that's like a common thread. And it's like they don't come to terms. Maybe it's like some with their sexuality, maybe for like some religious reason or whatever. And so this is kind of their way of like living it out without.
It has to be something like that, because she obviously was. She obviously got off on this, right? You don't keep this up for 8 years if you aren't. And maybe, you know what? That's actually kind of interesting, because the case that case was closed, and I think she got some financial reward from her cousin and an apology. But there was an apology that she wrote to her cousin, and she was like, but I want to be able to share it with my family. And her cousin was like, no, not going to settle for that. And then she wrote a different one that was not written by Simran, that was an apology that was accepted. Neither of them are released. They can't be, because that was Simran's stipulation. But now that I think of it, Gretchy, that's probably it. That's probably it.
You know, because what? Why wouldn't I she should want just be one of those profilers. Okay. Look out, Candace DeLong.
No one really knows where Simran is, because there was a podcast release called Sweet Bobby. That's a lot of episodes. And as soon as that came out, she deleted her profile. She quit her executive job. Like, she was a high profile person before. And so no one really knows where she is. She's MIA, but that's probably best for her. Simran and her attorneys did release a statement to Tortoise Media that reads, this matter concerns a family dispute over events that began over a decade ago when I was a schoolgirl. As far as I'm concerned, this is a private family matter that has been resolved, and I strongly object to the numerous unfound and seriously defamatory accusations that have been made about me, as well as the details of private matters that have been shared with this media.
Okay, well, you're a fucking liar, and that's like, you need help. Okay, but so what's her name? Karat's? I don't want to say it wrong.
Karat.
So she, Netflix made the story. So yes, do you think she got some like money? She got some money there?
Dude,
Girlfriend, write a book. You need to come on our podcast. This is like your Playboy cover. Okay. There is a small window while you're hot that you can recover from this. Since your lawsuit against your cousin didn't work, you need to capitalize on that shit right now.
She is 44 now. She still wants to be a mom. She's like,
girl,
I don't know if it ever is going to happen, but listen, she is a disco biscuit. And so I'm like, she was on that Netflix documentary, she's got them knocking at her door. So I am just hoping that...
Open the door.
I know, open the door.
And just get a little embryo implanted in there. People give them up for adoption. I gave up 19.
Let's talk about 23andMe, Gretchy.
I know, yeah.
Ay, ay, ay. So Anyways, yes. Yeah, so I really, really, really hope that she finds somebody. I think she will. I have really good feelings for her, and I'm usually pretty right on my feelings. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Got it, girl.
But it's crazy, crazy. I could not believe it. And I had first listened to the podcast along when it came out, and then the Netflix, I was like,
yeah, I mean, the psychology behind this is like pretty crazy. You know, we did an episode back in the day. I talked about Mary Brown, one of the sister wives. She was catfish, and that was like a big tabloid fodder, like when that happened. But since then, she's done a bunch of like episodes where she's this woman who catfished her, catfished all these other women too. And it's like very similar stories. And she's become friends with these other women. And this person is still out there catfishing other people. Oh, like gosh, they still are keeping tabs. Yeah, they don't stop.
They don't stop.
Listen, if you must be on the apps or whatever to meet people, you got to be seeing them in person before you catch feelings. Okay.
I know.
Or do it the old fashioned way and just go to a bar.
I don't even know if they drink. I mean, obviously they do go to a bar because she saw them.
You know what I keep thinking about? I mean, this is just, I'm just having a little flashback since we're talking about the Sikh culture. Okay. So I went to school with a girl who was Sikh. Her name was, she was a very pretty girl, very sweet girl. Her name was Jazz Winder. That was her first name. I don't remember what her last name was. And we had a substitute one day, and the substitute said, okay, you know, he's doing roll. Mm-hmm. And he says, okay, Jazz Winder. So I just call you Jazzy. And she was like, no, my name's Jazz Winder. Like, if your name was Elizabeth and you just want to be called Elizabeth,
yeah.
But for whatever reason, he's like, yeah, I know. So your first name is Jazz. And she was like, no, my name is, and I mean, she left crying.
Oh my God. What
and I just,
asshole.
And the, I remember the substitute, like kind of laughing about it. And it was like, you are such a fucking asshole. I wish now I could have
had the balls
said something. Yeah. Said something like, you're a jerk, or I don't know, said something to somebody else. Like, this guy was like a real jerk making fun of her for having a long name. Yeah. What's your name? Jeez. Stupid. Fuck Chad. This.
Do you remember his name?
No.
Oh, too bad.
Too bad.
That would be good if you did. You could blast him right now.
I don't know, but Jazz Winder, if you're out there, I'm sorry, girl. That was a bad day.
I know. I had lots of bad days in high school, so
yeah,
I know. You know, it is what it is. Hopefully she's killing it in life now.
I'm sure she is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alrighty. Well, that's that for today. Thanks for listening. Again, if you want to check out our Patreon or Clink Clink Club, do that now. And if you haven't left us a review, you can do that also. And if you listen on Spotify, you can comment on our episode. We do reply to those, and we thank you if you're kind, and if you're an asshole, because some of you are, maybe just keep it to yourself. Or not. I read those also.
Eat a banana.
Eat a banana. And I think that's it for today, Dolly.
All right, Dolly.
Such a cute little Dolly. There you are. Mm-hmm. Clink, clink.
Clink, clink.